to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. Now, I got to do the first things first. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Rebecca Hopper.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. Now, my normal thing is, Mary, where are you taking us?
We have a special guest today, Rebecca Hopper, who is with the Sheriff's, Craven County Sheriff's Canine Division, and she's got a couple of issues she's going to talk to us about. There are some good things happening in Craven County and in the North Carolina legislature regarding the dogs. So go for it.
All right. I wanted to give a kudos out to the legislative changes that have been recently changed in the past 6 months, which was House Bill 975. House Bill 975 addresses on whether or not our canines can be transported by an ambulance or by other entities other than the sheriff's office or the police department, and it addressed where the not only can they be transported, but they can also be treated by the EMS worker or our paramedic. They can assist us in treating that. I think this is a great bill that has passed and is already in effect. It was signed by the governor. So I think that is a very good topic that they listen to us law enforcement officers about. I very much give them kudos for that.
How long did it take you to get them to make the change?
We had brought it up multiple times for about the past 3 years.
Have we had an instance in Craven County where we lost a dog because it didn't get treated?
Thankfully, no. Up until now, I did bring an instance with me. When we get more into that, I did bring an instance here from North Carolina, a good friend of mine who works for Franklin County Sheriff's Office, had his dog killed in the line of duty.
Oh.
So I did bring that as well, just to go, once we go in further to what we are into topic today.
Okay, and there's another law you're working on.
I'm sorry?
There's another law that you're working on.
One that we are working on is to get more harsh or severe penalties in order for the subjects who hurt or kill our dogs. Right now, it is very, very low. We're looking at 3 to 12 months and more than likely probation coming off of that. When we're talking about the sentencing, that is prison time or at least until it gets in front of a judge, you're not looking at a very long time before their trial comes to part.
So it's a misdemeanor.
It is a felony here in North Carolina.
But punished like a misdemeanor.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So they would get local jail time.
Correct.
Rebecca,
which costs the city money.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, you also mentioned something about the teenagers, the oddball teenagers.
So
that take advantage of their youth.
Yes. So the big ones that we see right now is one, if we send our dog to apprehend someone, they are here. The dogs are here to protect us. They are here to protect us in case we get attacked or we are being assaulted. We have immediate backup. The problem being is here in North Carolina, along with the rest of the United States, the dogs are looked at as property and not necessarily as a partner in law enforcement. And as I understand the reasoning that they classify them under a piece of property, we are not allowed to protect them in the same way as they protect us. Let me give you an example. If my dog is being stabbed by a suspect, I cannot shoot this man or protect him as I would a human. We cannot do that. So hopefully in the future we can address this at some point, but that is across the United States. That's not just here. What I am trying to accomplish by hopefully getting this to the legislature and getting some legislative changes are currently and I'm going to read this. This is verbatim of General Statute 14163.1 that says any person who knows or has reason to know that an animal is a law enforcement agency animal, an assistance animal, or a search and rescue animal who willfully kills the animal is guilty of a Class H felony, which is one step higher than the basic bare-bottom felony. So if they attempts to cause serious harm to the animal, it is a Class I felony. So this is serious harm, meaning they can now not use a leg. They now cannot, they have permanent scarring from it. They have more than just, this person grabbed a hold of my dog. Still a Class I felony, which is the very lowest felony on. So even if this dog has to be retired because it no longer can walk, or has to be retired for the reason of the injury, these subjects are getting Class I felony, and like I said, 3 to 12 months, they're out back out on the street.
Well, if they injured the dog so it can't work anymore, they've basically stolen the dog from the department.
That is correct.
And the dog cost how much?
So if I were to go to any canine facility anywhere around here, it would be between $25,000 and $35,000. That is for the dog itself, depending on what purpose that dog has.
Because that dog has already been trained.
Correct.
So yep. The training cost is what increases the value of the dog.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier to you, I would analogize that to the larceny statutes. Mm-hmm. Stealing $25,000 from the city is what level of felony do you happen to know?
So it depends on whether it was breaking and entering in larceny. So it depends on each situation. But, and it also determines whether the house is occupied or not occupied.
Well, that assumes larceny only happens as a result of burglary. But
correct.
What if you're kiting checks or,
right.
You know, something else? What's the level?
$1,000 will make it a felony.
Okay. So what's $25,000?
It would still be the same.
The same felony? Same level? Because in New Mexico, where I was, the level of harm was by the amount of the larceny.
So basically what they do is they may raise the class, and that may be the levels that you're speaking of.
Yes.
So it would just depend on which level. Like I said, maybe it's just listed as class under ours. It would just raise the class closer to A.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Okay.
So larceny of $25,000 would be, what do you think? What level?
It would depend. Like I said, I think all the circumstances are a little bit different.
You know, other than the life of the animal and the training or whatever else, it's somebody like ramming a police car. And okay, that $35,000, that $40,000 police car is out of service.
That's mm-hmm. right.
How are we going to replace it?
And there's insurance for that, right?
That's yeah. There's insurance.
Right. So on the side of this part of it, of the sentencing side, let me give you an example of some different states and what their laws are compared to ours. So Tennessee right now, this was passed under what's called Joker's Law, and we can go into that if you guys would like here in a minute.
Why is it called Joker? Is that the dog's name?
Yes,
okay.
That is the dog's name.
Okay.
Yep, this is Joker's Law. How it substantially affected their legislation on hurting, killing a dog. So Tennessee, under Joker's Law, which was passed, I can tell you when that was passed. 2022 was whenever it was passed. The actual occurrence of the crime happened in 21. So they changed theirs from a minimal like ours was to 3 to 8 years. It's a Class B felony, which is one lower than A.
Good.
So very high. They also have a provision for 14 to 17 year old juveniles. They may be charged as an adult, and they also changed the broad coverage. They included the search and rescue dogs, your horses for your mounted police.
Oh, good.
They added multiple different animals in that realm. North Carolina, like I told you, was 3 to 12 months. Class I felony, often it ends up in probation. And it's the lowest felony class, and there are no enhanced penalties for injury versus death. So there's no difference if they injure it or kill it. Florida is up to 15 years. It is a serious felony and one of the harshest state penalties out of all the states. And they have the strong, they focus on the strong deterrence of if you kill this animal, this is how long you're getting. They rely on that a little bit more, kind of as that you may not want to do that. You may want to rethink your decision. Colorado is up to 6 years. That's a felony. It's mandatory restitution for replacement and training costs. Kansas, this one's a more recent bill as well, approximately 5 years. It's a felony, mandatory minimum fine of $10,000, and they also expanded that to the search and rescue animals. And then under federal law, if this was a federal dog, say your military or on the bases where you have your military canines, your military police and their dogs, that is a felony up to 10 years and applies to just those federal canines and the offenses on a federal property. So those are just a few comparisons. Now, just as recent as last month, they changed South Carolina's laws in May 2026 to, that one is Fargo's law, same thing. They actually named it under multiple dogs, which was Fargo, Heiko, Rico, Koba, Wick, Mika, and Boomy. They changed that to now it's up to 15 years of imprisonment if you severely injure or kill a canine.
Before we scare the public with the cost of a dog.
Yes, which we've already done.
you were telling us that the dogs in Craven County haven't cost the county anything.
That is correct.
Can you explain that?
The training may cost, but the dog doesn't, right?
Well, even the training hasn't cost because I have done that in-house. So yes, I'm getting paid, of course, by the sheriff's office. But we have done the majority of that training in-house and with us. We have relied on an organization called Throwaway Dogs Project. They provide agencies canines that they may not have been able to afford in their budgets. And since we have come, like I said, since I've come to Craven County Sheriff's Office in 2019, we had 0 dogs when we began, and we are now sitting at 8.
That's awesome.
So those dogs have not cost the
agency.
Would
you share the story of Vex?
Vex was a seizure here in Craven County, and our Animal Protective Services had seen Vex, and whenever they had seen her, she was malnutrition. She was also tied to a tree. She had been there for a long time, probably the first year of her life.
Oh.
Every time she moved forward, her front legs would come up off the ground because of the chain. So she didn't have shelter, water, necessities, shade, none of those things. So Animal Protective Services gave the homeowner and the owner of the dogs the opportunity to correct that wrong. Came back, he did nothing. So since he did nothing, they ended up seizing the dog, and the dog then was taken to the shelter. While in the shelter, believe it or not, and for those of you who were at the event last week, could see she's very, very excitable, and she cannot sit still, very wiggle worm. And I would be too if I was tied to a tree for a year. So the shelter got her. She was at a very high state of stress in the shelter because she was so extremely hyper and was wanting to get that energy out. So they had tried to medicate her while she was there to get her a little bit calmed down.
What breed?
Belgian Malinois.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So they tried to get her calmed down, wasn't working. One of our local dog trainers here in New Bern, which is Canine Reflection, Lauren Klein, awesome person, she decided she wanted to foster the dog. So she began fostering the dog, started to teach them that obedience, started to teach them just some manners, And she called me through because she got a hold of our Animal Protective Services. She was like, "You guys have got to come look at this dog." So she contacted me, went out there. We did extensive testing on the dog environmentally with people in different environments, hard surface, tile surface. We did all of these different tests with her to see what she would be willing to do. And she passed all of those with flying colors. None of it bothered her. It was fascinating. And the drive, the prey drive and the hunt drive that the dog instinctually has was just absolutely impressive. So Lauren and I of Canine Reflection, her and I started just training the dog. Let's see what she'll do. Let's present her these odors. Let's see how she does. Does she remember this is what I'm looking for? Started training her on the scent detection side, and she took off. She took off and just exploded with the only time this dog sits absolutely still is whenever she is sitting in the odor that she's been trained to find.
Wow.
And she turns into a complete statue.
Wow. They call that alerting.
Yes.
How old
absolutely
is she?
Do. She just turned two.
Awesome.
Yes.
Super intelligent dog.
100%. This dog was an absolute diamond in the rough that could have been presented to us.
That's awesome.
But coming from nothing to now what it is.
She has an amazing life now.
She has an amazing life now.
That's an amazing name too, Vex. Who's she vexing?
So the Vex is essentially stands for mischievous, but powerful. That's what we see in her.
That's awesome.
That's a wonderful story.
Yes.
So when will she go into service with you?
She is already in service and on the road right now with Deputy Barnett.
Wow.
And doing wonderfully.
Awesome.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're way over time, but I couldn't stop this. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're back. Rebecca,
What I wanted to talk about here, so we've talked about Tennessee with Joker's Law. We've talked about South Carolina and Fargo's Law. We've talked about those, but let's talk about here in North Carolina. We've been very thankful that nothing like this has happened in our county, but it has happened in surrounding counties and counties in North Carolina. One of the ones that I wanted to specifically talk about was Canine Major. Back in April of 2022, the Franklin County Sheriff's Office, SRT, which is your special response team, was asked to assist the Granville County Sheriff's Office with a call that they had had. The day prior, the man had been arrested, confined, and then released from the Granville County Jail. He later broke into a home, stole an AK-style rifle and a vehicle. He continued to commit crimes and raise safety concerns for the community. And on the morning of the 10th, the fire department was called for a fire on a deck. And during the investigation, the fire department noticed that there was treated wood actually on the deck of the house. So they also found more treated lumber near the crawl space. And in the driveway, they found spent AK rounds. And law enforcement arrived on scene and determined that the home needed to be cleared for a potential threat and called for assistance from the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. Upon their arrival, it was determined that the search of the crawl space and the interior search of the residence by a canine was the best choice at hand to clear the residence before humans entered into, which is the job of our canines. They are here to protect us. Mm-hmm. So, after giving verbal warnings with no response, Canine Major was deployed into the crawl space of a home. Shortly after entering the crawl space, Major was shot in the chest at point-blank range by the suspect, killing him instantly. After a brief standoff, the suspect surrendered and was taken into custody, and Major's body was removed from the crawl space, and he was transported in the patrol car because at that time, we were not allowed to transport dogs in ambulances and things of that nature. Transported in his patrol car to the local hospital where he was preserved overnight, and the next day he was taken to NC State College Veterinary Facility for his autopsy. Major sacrifice is believed to have preserved human life that day, and the handler, which is a very good friend of mine, him and his team that responded that day, of course, will be forever grateful for it. Jamie had the dog for several years and was very attached. I had actually trained alongside with Jamie on multiple occasions where I got to see him and this dog work. I don't think that people realize not only does the dog lose its life or get seriously injured where they have to be retired, but I don't think they look at the trauma that it actually causes the handler. And this is why the sentencing seems so unfair or
weak,
very weak.
I've seen on videos on Facebook and YouTube that the dogs live at home with the handler and his family.
They do.
So his family is also affected.
Correct. So, for example, like a lot of our dogs, we have, I call them little condos because sometimes in comparison to our homes, they look much better than ours, right? So, which rightly so. They deserve that, mm-hmm. right? We keep them outside, typically. They have indoor-outdoor kennels, especially in our county. And the only reason why we have those is thanks to Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, which is a nonprofit 501(c) that helps our agency with Animal Protective Services and the canine unit. They raise money for us. So the money that was raised, we actually got to purchase these for our dogs. I call them little condos. They have an indoor area. They have an outdoor area. Their roof, you know, they have a roof nice. With shingles, just like our house would. But we keep them outside because, for instance, even in Canine Major's instance, if we have to send our dog into a residence that has been broken into, there's a suspect inside. If we allow them to hang out on our couch with us, that's what's going to happen when we actually need them to protect our life. If they are used to getting up on the couch and hanging out with everybody all day, that's what's going to happen when we put them in a residence, and I really need them to go locate this person who could severely or kill one of us. So the trauma, I thankfully have never had to deal with the trauma of having my dog killed in front of me. I've had three dogs now. Two of them still ride with me. I still have the responsibility of that. But I have had one that has passed on, you know, has passed away now. Canine Ringo was my first dog at New Bern.
I remember. We remember.
Yes, we do.
He came to CCTA meeting and did a demonstration for us.
Yes. Ringo.
Now how old was Ringo?
I'm sorry?
How old was Ringo?
Thankfully, we were lucky enough to be a part of his life for 13 and a half years.
Wow.
Which so is, he had a nice full life.
He did, which is actually very odd. Ringo was with me when I was at New Bern. I was his third handler. When I received Ringo, he was very much of a wild child and very rambunctious, loved doing his job, very professional dog. But when he retired from New Bern, the sheriff was able to get permission from New Bern to allow us to use him temporarily at the sheriff's office to at least start our program, to show the importance and to show the value of what a dog in a sheriff's office can do to help the agency and their deputies and locate the illegal drugs. The putting a price tag on a canine is immeasurable. So when you look at the handler side of it, from my perspective, it was hard enough to lose right. my canine, even though I knew that it was time. Right. I knew that he was 13 and a half. Typically, the canines will only last about a year after they are retired. They will typically die within that year.
And by the way, we recently lost a dog also, I think, wasn't there?
That was canine... Yes, we did in New Bern. I think that was Freddie.
Freddie, yeah. Freddie. A New Bern dog, yeah.
Yes.
What are the, generally speaking, what are the jobs of these dogs?
So the jobs of these dogs, depending on what style, what the agency, what type of dogs the agency has. For an example, we have what's called patrol dogs. Patrol dogs are our dogs who do a little bit of everything. They do the scent detection, so they look for illegal narcotics. They also do tracking. They also do criminal apprehension. So if someone flees or tries to hurt us, we are able to send that dog. They have what's called a single purpose, a patrol dog, or a dual purpose. That means they have multiple tasks. As to where your single purpose dogs are like your narcotics only dogs or your bloodhounds who are just tracking dogs. Now, they specialize in one single section of a job, as to where most agencies are going to the dual purpose because you get a little bit more bang for your buck. Whenever you spend that much money on a dog, you want to have them a little bit more of a realm of doing things. So when I tell you that a police canine, don't get me wrong, I think everybody understands the loss of an animal, a loss of a human. We can all comprehend that. However, with the police canines, they're not a pet or a piece of equipment. They're an actual sworn partner. When you look at the handler, they spend more time with their canine more than any other human, partner at work, at home, and every shift they're with this dog. The relationship is built on trust, shared danger, and constant companionship. So if I take this dog with me every single day to work, and these dogs save my life, even times that I may not even realize. So, but if they're looked as only North Carolina only considers them a piece of property, which I understand that. However, we should be able to protect them as much as they protect us. We share the same dangers. I'm asking the dog to do the same thing as what I do, go into the same locations as I do. But yet, if they are killed here, then Like I said, they get 3 months to a year.
What's the name of the legislation so we can contact our legislators and ask them to support it, that change?
So right now we are going, I'm going to try to contact Bob Brenson to see if we can get this.
So there is currently not a bill.
There is no bill.
Not currently a bill.
Okay. Nope.
The next opportunity to introduce new bills will be next January.
Correct. Okay. And we're going to aim for this to be added.
Awesome.
But the reason why it is so hard on the handlers is because typically we are here firsthand when it's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
The trauma that they walk away from is unbearable. That's the best way I can describe it, is completely unbearable.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Rebecca, which way do you want to take us?
So since we're talking about, we've talked about the legislative changes we'd like to see. We've talked about the trauma that it can cause the handler and their families and the agency. We've talked about Canine Joker's Law. We've talked about Fargo's Law. And we do not have one of those laws in North Carolina. We're hoping to continue that. Just to bring some perspective to the number of dogs that we lose on a yearly basis. This year so far, we have lost two. We have had one lost in Chesterfield County Police Department in Virginia.
Yep.
That happened as recent as May 31st, so several days ago.
Wow.
The one before that was April 1st, which was Mississippi Department of Corrections. That was Canine Floki. Last year, in the whole United States, we had 23 canines down that were killed in the line of duty.
Can I just interject before, without getting you too off track, but are they able to assess if the dog hadn't been there and taken the bullet or whatever happened, would it likely have been a officer.
So out of all of the dogs that have ever been killed in the United States, if we're going to talk a little bit about statistic, 107 of them were all from gunfire. Then you have your smaller trickling down numbers of, you know, car accidents or stabbing, or but the number one and the highest percentage, even if you look at the closest percentage to that down one, it is a significant percentage between the two. So if you look, again, if we're looking, if we classify it under the same way that North Carolina classifies it as a tool, let's talk about the dog. As a police canine, in the past 100 years, only five people have ever been killed by a canine. And the majority of those five were due to a secondary reason, because it got infected or they got something happened other than the dog bite in conjunction with the dog bite. So 5 in 100 years.
Is that counting the Virginia woman that the two pits dragged down the street?
I haven't heard that one.
She was mauled to death last week.
By a police canine?
Oh, no.
No,
I'm talking about just police canines.
Okay.
Yeah, just police canines. I don't know about on dogs, on personal pets. For police canines, there's been 5 in 100 years. I think as much as it's tragic that anyone loses their life, 5 is a pretty good number compared to a lot of other things that we have to do in law enforcement, and it's very unfortunate that anybody gets hurt or anybody gets injured or anybody gets killed. And at the end of the day, it comes back to choices. You know, these are choices that people make, and
crime has consequences.
Crime has consequences.
But
and
if you think about the gun, too, mm-hmm. if the suspect has a gun and they are fleeing and they're trying to get away, if they're going to shoot at the dog, they're going to shoot at you.
Absolutely right. So if you take into consideration that, this is what I try to remind everyone, is that police canines, when you're speaking in reference to their jobs and what we ask them to do, and if we have to apprehend a suspect, this is the only tool that all of law enforcement has, only tool, that we can send it and recall it back to us after it's been sent. We cannot recall a bullet. We cannot recall pepper spray after it's come out of a can. We cannot recall taser probes. We can't get them halfway out and say, come on back here.
I changed my mind.
You're complying now. We can do that with a dog. We can recall a dog after we've sent it. It's the only law enforcement tool that you can do that with.
Does every dog have its own code words for, like, attack and to be recalled? Does every dog have a different command?
So typically, if we are giving our dogs command, we do that in multitude of ways. Some people do it in German. Some people do it in Czech. Some people do it in Spanish. Some people do it in English, and a combination of all of them. It just depends on where they were trained, essentially. And even if they're trained in the United States, we're using those different words in those different languages. So the reason why we do that is because if we give them just plain English words, one, if I'm speaking to another person, another human, right, and we're having a conversation, or if I'm talking to some children, I need you to sit down, stop doing that, lay down, you know, you need to lay down, go to bed, like we would tell our children. So if we do all of those things, the dog doesn't really catch that. But if you tell the dog from a distance and you yell out, Plots.
Stay.
They're like, that word is for me.
Plots means parking lot in German. When I was over there, some of my people made me a sign for my BOQ room, and it said Park Plots. Because my last name is Park with an E.
Yes.
So they had Park with an E, Plots.
Oh, that's funny.
The Germans didn't get it, but we all got it.
You guys understood.
Yeah.
But, you know, So in the terms of the tools that we are provided, not all agencies have canines. Mm-hmm. And they also rely on other agencies to request their assistance to come in. Same that happened with Canine Major. And he was assisting a different city or county.
And again, even at the time when you know you have this canine working with you, mm-hmm. you may deploy the canine. Like you said, you may recall the canine, yeah. but that canine is always there as your partner.
Correct.
Always.
Absolutely.
Even if you have a suspect under control or whatever, that canine, he is still there, ready in a moment's notice.
Yes. And so when we talk about the sentencing on the agency side, the handler side, for the people that this dog has made an impact in their community, I mean, you look at these dogs who are pulling drugs off the street, preventing people from overdosing. When they take the drug off the street, it's not accessible. That's just that. It's still going to be accessible. But we're making a small little dent in it. And if we're making that small dent, you take the dog away, well, then we're back to open season.
Does the city of New Bern have dogs as well?
They do.
And what do they have?
They have four. Okay. They did have five, but with Freddie's passing, I'm not sure if they've gotten a new dog yet, so I don't want to speak on their behalf.
So does the county and the city work together? If you would have a search through the woods for a missing child, like happened several years ago, I know the dogs were involved in that. Would they all work together?
So they will all work together, but in sequence of each other. So okay. We would pull one out. For example, if we have a person, this has actually happened when I was at work at New Bern, we had a B&E in the county, they requested our assistance, we went out. At the end of it, which we did not know how long this track was going to be, but 3 miles into it, we had to switch out dogs. We're 3 miles in, the dog, if you can picture, sniffing the ground for 3 miles, that's exhausting, to a dog, uh-huh. because it's complete mental brain working on following that trail. So then whenever you turn around and you're like, okay, the dog's getting tired, we had to switch that dog out, and then we continue the other 3 miles with a different dog. So they will all work together. Our biggest problem, if we're going to talk about tracking, and when you talk about using multi-agencies, our biggest problem is what happens when a child walks out of a house? What is the first thing that happens with the parents? What happens? Can any of you guys tell me?
They panic.
They panic, right? What happens after they panic?
Call 911.
They do not. They actually don't do that. What do they do next?
Go look themselves.
They go look themselves. Third thing that happens. So now we have a missing two-year-old. They have gone outside, walked all over the place. Then after that, they're gonna call their neighbors, all the people down the street.
Oh.
And then all of their neighbors come outside of the house. And now we have 100 people.
With 100 different scents.
With 100 different scents. And then people are saying, why is your dog not finding anything? Well, there's 100 different people out here.
But we've all seen those TV shows where you go and say, my child is missing, and they haven't been gone for 48 hours, so we can't help you yet.
That will not happen in North Carolina.
Well, we've all seen the shows.
You know, it was interesting as you talk about these dogs actively searching or whatever else, and having been up in New England, and I grew up in the New York area, when the towers came down, 9/11, when the towers came down, and we saw some of the dogs after the fact at the New England Fair, that these dogs were so frustrated because they could not find. First off, they're walking on the pile that was ultra, ultra hot. And then secondly, they could not find any survivors. And the frustration.
Yeah. The dogs were depressed.
Oh, 100%. And they were out there for 12, 16 hours, if I recall. They were out there for extensive times during the search of
their
looking
feet were getting burned.
They were treated for burns on the sidelines when they would come off of.
After a while, they wound up with foot protection. They got
correct.
Smart.
But you can, and I believe there was one canine killed in that.
I don't remember that, but they had a problem with cancers. Mm-hmm. Later on, just mm-hmm. like they had a problem with the people mm-hmm. with cancers from breathing everything that was
right.
involved in that mess.
Well, and if one of the gentlemen, I read a documentary about that, but one of the towers had came down, and whenever it came down, he had already run away from his car to go help people because it was obviously before the tower, and he had to go secure that dog. And whenever he secured him, there was no getting back to him. This is where people don't realize the trauma that it actually causes. Mm-hmm.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call. I hope that you're enjoying this show and learning something from it.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Around here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from around here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from around here.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Where did you want... Kim, you wanted to take us over some other...
Well, I'm very interested in the Friends of the Craven County Sheriff's Office, and we've donated to them several times at several different events, and I have the T-shirts to prove it.
Oh, I have a couple of T-shirts.
And I'd like you to talk about that and how our listeners can help support the Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office.
Wonderful. Multiple years now, after I came into the sheriff's office in 2019, we were trying to learn how to supplement the budget, because when you're starting a canine program, the startup fees are astronomical. Now, all the years after that aren't as expensive, because in the initial startup of the unit, you're looking at canine kennels for their homes, canine kennels for the cars. The cars have to be specially outfitted. The canine cars have to have what's called a hot and pop. Hot and pop is a device that is installed in the car, serves two purposes. First purpose is if the car gets too hot or too cold, it has an automatic sensors that will turn the vehicle's
weather, but
it will roll all the windows down. It'll set off a lights and siren alerting the handler, hey, this car is too hot. Come back here. We need to get the dog some air. But it rolls down the window so that there's no possible way the dog could suffocate. Now, just like any piece of equipment, sometimes they do fail. I know recently they had a couple up north that had failed, but that is not typical. If it is set up properly and it is, unless it's extremely old and has some sort of mechanical problem.
Does that let you, excuse me, if you're in a situation where you're in trouble and you need the dog, does that?
So all of the handlers with the specific hot and pops that are geared for that, because they sell them with it and without it. So if somebody had their, let's say, arm around the officer's neck, and they're choking them, and that handler cannot physically give a command out to their dog, if they can reach that button, it will automatically pop a door, and the dog knows when that door pops, it is time for me to go to work.
Mm.
And he is going to come to my rescue, or the officer who is needing the help. when that occurs, and I also don't think that people understand also, even when we talk about all the things that we've talked about, they don't understand that even a live bite with a police dog, that will change the dog to an extent psychologically. It can even affect them. So if you add the trauma of being injured, shot, to all of that, that just, again, continues what we're talking about. But we would not have been able to start our program without Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office. Like I said, we wanted to start this. The sheriff and I had talked about this for years prior to me, even me coming to the sheriff's office. We had talked about this for years that whenever he was elected, we wanted to implement a canine program because even with New Bern having dogs, they're not always available. Just the same as sometimes New Bern needs a dog because their dogs aren't available and they would need to call outsource as well and they would need to call other dogs. So it works either way. All of our canine teams, whether it be New Bern or us or Havelock or Bridgeton, I know they have one now as well. All of us handlers work really well together. And where one can't do this, hey, I'm not here today, can you cover the county for us? And they're doing that. So we were very grateful for that. But with Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, we call them FOSCO. So if you hear me say FOSCO instead of Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, shortened version there. They began with me and a citizen who I'm very grateful for, very much friends, one of the greatest people. When they started it, her and I got together. And over time, we have different board members, and we are grateful for all of our board members. But starting this provided our agency a way to supplement the budget for all of the items that we need, the hot pop, the kennels, home kennel, in-car kennel, all of the equipment, the vests, the leashes, dog food at that time. They have been absolutely unbelievable what they have done for our agency. Anything, I can call them up and say, one of the dog's collars broke. I need a new leash. I need a new bite suit. They have provided these items. They've gone out there. They've volunteered their time. These are citizens in our county who are absolutely giving everything they have. Just last weekend, we did Paws on the Battlefield. They put that on. It was absolutely wonderful. And we raised money for our animal protective services and our canine unit. And we got to have a great time doing it. Spending time with the people volunteering their time, and I would list off all of our volunteers that help us, but there would be too many, we'd be here all day. But our board and the people who volunteer to help us, we have probably to date probably raised over $150,000 for our units.
Awesome.
If not more. I don't have those stats in front of me, but I would venture to say it would probably be even more than that. We have had a lady who donated to FOSCO. She donated money to purchase a vehicle.
Wow.
It and everything in it. We could not function with eight dogs. We could with a couple. We are very thankful for our budget from the county, and the commissioners provide us with a budget, but it is not nearly what we absolutely need. And I know that's not just a problem in Craven County. That is across the board. You know, yes, ma'am.
Can you tell people how to contact for donations and or to volunteer with you guys?
Absolutely. If you would like to donate any money to the Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, one, go to their Facebook page, same name, Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, and you can also mail, if you would prefer to mail a donation to us, that is 1822 South Glen Burnie Road, Suite 6, number 266, New Bern, North Carolina, 28562. We also have a PayPal, if you would like or and wish to donate to PayPal. I can't read off the link for you, but if you look up on PayPal and just put in Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office, it will pop up.
Do these dogs have bulletproof vests?
They do, yes. They do have bulletproof vests. A lot of the times what agencies are mainly looking for is the equipment needed for the training side of purposes. So whether that would be us sending our dogs off to a training place to get some maintenance training, or if we're in the initial portion of our training to where, hey, we need to purchase a dog, or for example, with ours, we've had one donated, then we will need the equipment to back that up. That goes from bite suits, vests, it goes for tracking harnesses, it goes for leashes, all of the, even toys, reward toys.
Rebecca, earlier off air, you were talking about training techniques of dogs, how you had changed the world from the negative training.
So a lot of the and I want to say old school, but I mean, at the end of the day, the training works. I can't speak bad of anyone, and I wouldn't do that. What I would say is we've been training dogs the same way since World War II. As law enforcement, we have, of course, evolved with the times. So I think the training should as well. Now, from the standpoint of the older, I say older style training, does it work? It works. Was it useful? Absolutely. However, a lot of the compulsion training, it was very much hands-on with the dogs. It did create a lot of conflict with the dogs between the handler and the dog. So when you have that dynamic, when you take the conflict out from the dog and you have that better relationship with the dog. And
you're turning them into a partner instead.
Correct. You're creating a partner that trusts you. You trust the dog. And the dog is solely reliant on you. They can't talk. They can't tell us what they need. They can't tell us if they're sore and hurting. Like if we go to the gym and we're sore and hurting afterwards, they can't tell us those things. So it's on the handler to build that relationship with the dog, and the handler can recognize what's going on with the dog. So when we talk about a little bit more modernized training, again, both training methods work, but I am very appreciative to see that more agencies and more trainers are starting to see and come out of the compulsion world.
What is that? What is the compulsion?
Compulsion training, I essentially call it yank and crank program. That's where, you know, you're constantly correction with a choke collar or something to that nature.
Okay.
It's just more harsher.
You do more of a reward.
We do more of a reward system of positive reinforcement. Now, again, like we talked about earlier off air, was a lot of the genetics of the dog. So you either have a dog that will withstand the stress during stressful situations. For example, out on the street, gunfire is going off, you have stress added. So when you talk about positive reinforcement, we are just adding stress, but then giving a positive, more of a positive. There's a time and a place in an emergency where you may have to grab a hold of that dog and get that dog off very, very quickly.
Back to your training.
Yeah.
Do you send your dogs to training out of house to so they get certificates for drug scenting? Because I know that in drug evidence suppression hearings, mm-hmm. the defense attorney will go after the training of the dog. Mm-hmm. And if you have certificates that prove this dog has been trained and passed such and such course, yes. it helps the state.
So we do our handler schools for the most part in-house, which they do receive. I'm a general instructor. And so we are able to give those certifications, or not, excuse me, we are able to give that certificate of completion out. What we do after that is we then certify with the dogs outside of our agency that will make sure they test every single area, and then they are given a certificate. Now, I will say in North Carolina, along with the rest of the United States, there is no requirement for them technically to be certified they go after training records, like you said. But we still do the certification because we want to make sure that our dogs are doing what they're supposed to, and we have that backing behind it.
Folks, on that, Rebecca, thank you very much for coming and sharing with us. Again, we've
My
got
pleasure.
To end the show. And again, thank you. And we look forward to having you on again. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.